Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5. Then we'll be looking at Joshua chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is, God buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth-Pur, but no man knows the sepulcher where it is today. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural forces abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Now look at verse Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give unto them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you, and I, as I said unto Moses, verse 5, there shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Notice that word strong and courage. And unto the people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I want us to look in Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9, and I want us to read those two verses together. Will you stand with me, please? Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9, starting with verse 8 and then verse 9. Are you ready? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be seated, please. Preaching today about facing the future. I hope you have the bulletin today and you see our outline for today and a place on the back to make some notes. When we think about the book of Joshua, we really think about one of the great mountaintops of the Old Testament. The book of Joshua is really very much related to the book of Ephesians of the New Testament. As we think about the book of Joshua, when we think about entering into the land of Canaan, the land of Canaan speaks about the life, not heaven. Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is a land of victory for the children of God. Canaan is a land of joy and overcoming. It is a land of combat. It's a land of accomplishment. It is a land of achievement. It's a place that God expects every believer, all of us, to live. Not to live in the wilderness, not to live in Egypt, but to live in that perpetual land that land of Canaan, the land of victory. When we think about this man, Joshua, by the way, his name means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Our names, all of our names have meaning, especially in the Bible. Every name in the Bible has a specific name. I would ask you, do you know what your name means? Martha's name means lady. And I remind her that sometimes, that that her name means lady. And all of our names have a meaning. And so he was born in Egypt. He was born as a slave, but he does not have a slave mentality. He does not think like a slave. God does not want any of us to have that slave mentality, because if the Son, therefore, has made you free, the Word of God says that you're free indeed. And God has set us free by His grace and by His power, and He wills for us to live in that perpetual land of victory and glory by His grace and power. He was born a slave. We first see him in Exodus chapter 17. He was a warrior. He was one of the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan, that were sent in to spy out the land. And they came back, and they came back with a report. They came back, they must have been a bunch of Baptists, because they came back with two reports, okay? Two reports. There was a majority report, and there was a minority report. And the majority, 10 of them, said, oh, it's a beautiful land. It's a wonderful land. It's glorious. And here's some of the fruit off the land. Now, if they had stopped there, that would have been great. But they said that word, but. But. You know, I love you, but. You know, I love you. And they said, well, you know, there are giants in the land. And they eat the people up. They're cannibals. And we can't go into the land. And so Joshua and Caleb, the two who gave the minority report, said, wait a minute, folks. Hold the phone just a second. Hey, we want to tell you something. It's a beautiful land. It's a wonderful land. And we should go up at once and possess it. Let's go up and possess it, because God says that land is ours. And it doesn't matter about the giants, because God is greater than the giants of our life. I know that all of us have those giants. So Joshua and Caleb were the ones who gave the minority report. They were the only ones, over 20, who entered the land of Canaan. In those 40 years of wandering, they could have been to the promised land from Egypt in just a few days. It was not far at all. They could have been in Canaan land in just a short period of time if they had listened to Joshua and Caleb. And so God said to them, the rest of these over 20 are going to die in the wilderness. In the next 40 years, they're going to die. And only two, Joshua and Caleb, entered the land over 40 years of age. And so Joshua was a man who was constantly in the Word of God. When I think about the message of Joshua, when I think about, as we're preaching today, about facing the future, we're thinking about the new year. We're looking back, and we're saluting the old year, and we're looking forward to the new year. What does the new year hold for us? What will be the high points and the low points of the year that's coming up? And so in the new year, we stop to take inventory. Some of you have worked in businesses where you took inventory at the ending of the year or at the first of the year. It's a time to take inventory. It's the time to balance the books. It's a time to close the old books. And it's time to open the new books. It's a time to set goals and to put the past behind us, because we can't live in the past. We can't unscramble the eggs. We can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And we can't go back and relive the past. There are a lot of people who do that, who try to do that, who try to relive the past, but we can't do that. And so we look to the future. And we realize that we're in a warfare. We're in a war zone. We live in a fallen world. And we live in a fallen body that one day shall be redeemed. But those who are saved, our bodies are not yet redeemed. We have the down payment on a new body. And that's the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the seal of God that's upon us, the Holy Spirit. But we're looking now as we think about this new year, facing the future. Do you know, as we think about life, it's easy to get into a rut. Have you ever been in a rut? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you have never lived in the country in the old days and the old dirt roads. And I've seen dirt roads that the ruts were so deep that you'd have to pull a vehicle down the road, down the hill, or get a tractor to pull them down. But you know, living in a rut's really not a good place to live. A rut's just really a grave with the ends knocked out. You think about that. A rut's just a grave with the ends knocked out. And we don't need to live in a rut. And we don't need to live our lives and say, well, it's just going to be the more of the same this year. So let's think about facing the future. I want you to think about facing your future and the future that God wants for you and the future that God wills for you and the place that God wants you to be in this coming year. As we face the future, we think about, first of all, if you look in your outline, number one, about communion. That is, we face the future communing or communicating with God. We must have God speak to us if we're going to know the way. Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? As we look at 2016, how can we know the way? We must begin this year with communication with God, communing with Him. And God does speak to us. God does want to speak to you, and He can speak to you, and He speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. You say, God has never spoken to me. Oh, yes, He has. Yes. He has spoken to you through His Word. And Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is according to thy word. And so, God says now, as you face the future, Joshua, as you face the future, Moses, my servant, is dead. And Moses represents the law. And Moses could not enter into the promised land. You know why he could not enter into the promised land? Because he got mad. He got angry. And by the way, I have never said anything intelligent while I was mad. And you know what? You've never said anything intelligent when you're angry, when you're mad. You say some really stupid stuff. And you say, what about it, Brother Bill? Don't get mad, okay? Don't get mad. Don't worry, be happy, okay? Now, come on. And God wants you to be joyful in your life. And it's so easy. It's so easy to not be in the Word. So, Moses is dead. And the law cannot bring us into the promised land. The law can't save us. It cannot help to save us. The law condemns me. In fact, you're looking at a preacher who's a lawbreaker, and I'm looking at a congregation, just completely everyone to the last person is a lawbreaker. God says if you break one part of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. So the verdict is that we're all guilty. And the law cannot take us into the promised land. The law cannot give us victory. It takes us by the hand. It takes us by the hand. The law takes us by the hand and takes us to the cross and takes us to the empty tomb and reminds us that only Christ can save us and give us eternal life. And so this year, 2016, we're going to need to have communion, communication in the Word. Have you ever read the Bible through one time? One time? How long have you been saved? How long is it that you've known Christ as His Savior? And never and never read this book through one time? Surely, 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 just one time. Oh no, one time we could read the Word of God through. I challenge you, some of you, to read the Bible through this year. We have schedules here to read them through. And I've said, Wednesday night. I'm a guy who, if I can't get a whole loaf, I'll take a half a loaf. Amen? Is a half a loaf better than nothing? Amen? So you know what? There's not a Christian here, a person who's saved. I'm not talking to lost people, okay? I'm not talking to you. If you're lost, I'm not talking to you about that. But you know what? You could read the New Testament through this year real easy. About a chapter a day. Not quite a chapter a day. You can read the Bible, the New Testament, through. Wouldn't it be great to have read the Word of God, the New Testament, through this year? One chapter. Just a few. They say you can read the Bible through 15 minutes a day. I don't really believe that. I really don't. Either I'm a slow reader, or they are really fast speed reader. Remember that lady, Mrs. Wood, who came up with speed reading? Maybe that's it. But just a few moments a day, you could read the Bible through in 2006. You can read the New Testament through in just a few moments, or the whole Bible through in just a little bit more. And so, communion with the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. This is the roadmap. This is a book that tells us what to do, how to do it, where to go, what to be, and gives us the power that we need to do what God wants us to do. Get in the Word. And when I think about communion, I think about prayer. You say, Brother Bill, what's prayer? It's just simply talking to God. It is just simply talking to God. Have you heard one of these really pious prayers? Oh, thou great God, you call on somebody to pray. Oh, thou great God, Jehovah, Yahweh, you know, and just on and on and on and on and on and on. We're not talking about that. Prayer, when you talk to me, don't say, oh, thou great Bill Carpenter. I'd say, man, you're off in your head, okay, real bad. And that's not the way you talk to your wife. I don't say, oh, thou great Martha, how gracious and glorious you are. I don't say that. That's the silliest thing in the world. Prayer is just simply talking to God. Talking to God. As you would talk to a friend. That old hymn that we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And so in 2016, we need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be praising God. You know, there are a lot of what I call gloom, despair, and misery Christians. Now, some of you never did see Hee Haw, did you? I can see that none of you did. No, I'm sure. But there are a lot of Christians like that, gloom, despair, and misery. And it's so bad. But God wants us to praise Him. There's so many things and so many reasons why we can praise God. And so we need to be praising Him. I like this quote. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my lowest, God's my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. And so we need to praise Him. We have so many reasons to praise Him. It'd be a good thing before you get out of bed to think of 10 things that you can thank God for. Just say, God, I thank you for saving my soul. You can find 10 things quickly, very quickly. And as we think about communion and communication in 2016, I think about worship. For John 4 says, God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God seeks and desires and wants our worship, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. John chapter 4 and verse 23. Worship simply speaks about worth, about importance, about bowing down and putting God first in our life. So we face the future with communion, with communication. In the Word, in prayer, in praise, and in worship. Secondly, very quickly, we face the future, the face 2016, with commitment. And so we must be committed. Committed, I think, to some things that really are important. To continuity. Moses had died. Here Joshua was. He had been his assistant. Can you believe? You think about being somebody's assistant for 40 years. For 40 years, Joshua had been Moses' assistant. He had worked with Moses. They'd come out of the land of Egypt together. They'd spent 40 years in the wilderness. And now Moses is dead. He's not dead because he's old. For the Bible said in that chapter, the last chapter, chapter 34, Deuteronomy, his eyes were not dim. His natural forces were not abated. He was much of a man. But God took him up to Mount Nebo, and he's the only person who's ever lived that had a funeral like this. All of his pallbearers were angels. And the people who dug the grave, they were angels. And the ones who sang Amazing Grace were angels. I mean, the whole crowd. And the one, I don't know what the angel said there at Moses' funeral, but there were only angels at the funeral of Moses. But he died before his time. We say, well, you know, it was just Moses' time to die. No, it wasn't. If he had not gotten angry, and instead of speaking to the rock, God said, speak to the rock. And he spoke to the rock. He said, you bunch of rascals. He didn't say that, but something like that. And he really gave him a hard time. And God said, you're not going in the promised land. But God has his servants. Moses was dead, but God had Joshua. We think about our situation here at Crooked Creek. Brother Tom has retired after 29 years. And he's gone. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's no one who can take his place. No. There's no one who can take your place. There's no one who can take your place. There's no one who can fill the gap for you. No, not really. Not really. But God has someone. God has someone somewhere to fill the place. God has someone somewhere that he wants to bring to this church, to pastor this church. He has his servant already prepared, already prepped, already ready. Are you ready, Freddy? I mean, he's ready. But the question is to find him. When I left here 33 years ago, and leaving, it's really a problem. This is why I'm always telling folks, you need to pray when the preacher leaves, okay? You better be sure you pray. You better get your knees worn out, because that's what you need to do. Had a guy came to me and he said, man, I found the guy to fill our pulpit down here at Crooked Creek. He just led me. He just spoke to me. He just told me that this guy that we're going to bring in, that I'm the one that's going to bring him in. I said, I'm going to bring him in. He's the one that I know is the guy. And you know what? He wasn't. It's not his fault. He ought never to have been brought here. It was not God's will. It was not God's purpose. It was not God's plan. Just one person who said, I know who needs to be here. But God knows who the person is and where they are and how to get them here. And that's why it's so important for us to pray like we never prayed before, and to trust God and to walk humbly before Him. And so we face the future with commitment about continuity. God, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide the person that He wants to. We think about commitment to His call. He said to Joshua, I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. Can you think about how Joshua felt? The great man Moses is dead. And Moses said, and God said, Joshua, you're the man. You're the one that I've chosen to fill this job, to fill this place. I'm the one that I've called you. I will not fail you, Joshua. I will not forsake you, Joshua. He says, no one will be able to stand before you, Joshua. Joshua 1:5. And as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. You can think of the comfort of the Word of God as God began to speak to Joshua, who had just been an assistant for 40 long years. And now Joshua is, get this, 80 years old. He's 80 years old. Can you believe that God could use somebody that old? And by the way, Moses was 80 years old, when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. 80 years old. And so God said, I'm committed. Joshua said, I'm committed. Joshua said, I'm going to communicate with you in every area of my life, in the word and prayer and praise and worship. I'm committed to continuity. I'm committed for the work to go on. I'm committed to the call that you've given me. Number three, very quickly, he faced the future with contentment. Let me talk about contentment for just a moment. The Word of God says godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is not indifference. Contentment is not in a position. Contentment is not in possessions. Contentment is not in pleasure. Contentment is not in power. Contentment is not those things at all. Contentment is not plenty. Contentment is not a place. What is contentment, Brother Bill? Contentment is realizing that it's possible to be content, and that contentment is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That commitment that contentment is powerful. Just a side note, 2.5 of the tribes decided that they did not want to go in the promised land. They wanted to live on the other side of Jordan River. And the Jordan River speaks about death, to self and death to the old life. They said, we won't live over here on the east side of Jordan. We're not going into the promised land. We're not going into the land of victory. We don't want to go there. We can make more money over here. The grass is greener over here. And so they did not go. And by the way, they were the first ones to go into captivity. They were the first ones to die. The safest place to be. The safest place to be is to be in the will of God. The safest place for you to be is in the will of God. If you are in the will of God, and be sure that you are in the will of God, you are in the safest place that you can be. And God wants us and wills for us to be content. So we face the future with communion. To communicate, we face the future with commitment. We face the future with contentment. And fourthly, very quickly, we face the future with courage. Be strong and of good courage. 6 times, over and over and over, he says. And the New Testament says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When he's talking about being strong, he's not talking about having big, bulging, powerful muscles like mine. That's not what he's talking about. I laugh about that. You might as well laugh as cry, right? Amen? Just go ahead and laugh about it. It's funny. It really is. And so we're to be strong in the Lord. In him. In Christ, there's strength. In his word, there's strength. In his spirit, there's strength. God says that for the new year, we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so he says, be strong. He gives him a promise. As he thinks about Canaan, about the rest of Canaan, about the abundance of Canaan, about the victory of Canaan, about the partnership of Canaan, about being strong with the power of God upon us. Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And so God wants us to be courageous. He wants us to face the year with courage. He does not want us to face the year with fear. He wants you to face the future and face the new year with courage, to be available. And after all, the greatest ability is availability. Are you available for God to use? Availability. Are you accepting what God has laid out for you? Joshua just stepped through the door, and God opened the door for him. And the time had come. It had been a long time in coming. 80 years, here he is. Here he steps in through the door, and he says, I'm available, Lord. And I accept the responsibility that you have given me. And I will do what you want me to do. And he says, I know that I'm adequate by your power, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The power is not in us. The power is not in our intellect. The power is not in our emotions. The power is not in our talents. The power is not in our natural abilities that we have. And all of us have natural abilities. The power is not in some kind of magnetism that you might think you have. But the power, it is not by might. It is not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And all of us, by His grace, can live a powerful life in 2016. So here's an 80-year-old man. He'd been on Social Security for 15 years. Man alive. Can you think about a warrior who's going to lead them into fight and lead them into battle. And a leader 80 years old. That shows, my friends, the greatness of God's power. If God can use an 80-year-old man or an 80-year-old woman, He can use you. Just think about what it's like to be 16. And I couldn't wait to get 16. 18. Well, that was better. 21. That was the top of the line. But you think about all that. But you can have, regardless of how old you are, you can have the power of God on your life in 2016 to be everything that God wants you to be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I cannot see what's out there in 2016. But God can see. And He is my God. Jesus is my Savior. And God's Holy Spirit indwells and has sealed and baptized me and fills me moment by moment by His power. That's what we need, to face the uncertainty of the new year with the certainties of God's Word. Shall bow our heads. Musicians, will you come forward? I do not know what it is that God has spoken to you about today, but I do know that He has spoken to you. Maybe there's someone here today who does not know Christ as your Savior. And today is the day, the first Sunday in 2016. Would be a great day for a new name to be written in glory. Maybe it's the name of someone here who does not know Christ, or you're not sure that you're saved. In just a moment, our pianist is going to play, and we're going to have the invitation. Or maybe you've been saved, but you haven't professed Him openly. You've been a member of the secret service, God's secret service, but you need to go public and profess Christ openly if you're saved and follow Him in believer's baptism. Or maybe you're not in the Word. You're not communicating with God. You're not allowing Him. You're refusing to let Him communicate with you through His Word. Maybe you've never read the Bible through one time. Maybe this is a year. Or maybe this is a year that you need to say, I'm going to read the New Testament through this year. Or you need to say, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. I'm going to sometime in the day, I'm going to read the Word of God. Not a day without the Word of God. I'm going to, by the grace of God, get into prayer like I should. Instead of groaning and complaining, I'm going to start praising God. Instead of feeling sorry for myself, I'm going to begin worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I'm going to believe that God has a continuity plan, that God's work goes on. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to trust God for that. I'm going to believe that I can be content. In whatever state I am, I can be content. And by the grace of God, 2016 is going to be a year of contentment for me. In Christ, I'm going to be content in Him. And 2016 is going to be a year of courage as I accept God's Holy Spirit power in my life as He indwells me and seals me and has placed me into Christ and Christ into me. And as He desires to control me through His Spirit into my spirit, I'm going to experience that communication, that courage, that strength, that power in my life. 2016, by His grace, will be a powerful year for me by His grace and power. I don't know what it is that God is speaking to you about, but the altar's open. Would you come, please? Shall we stand as she plays?